The podcast you're about to listen to is part of the Professional Casual Network. To find more podcasts like this, please check out professionalcasual.com.
The Professional Casual Network has gear. Check out teespring.com/store/professionalcasual for fresh new swag. A huge shout out to our sponsor, BeardedDragonGames.online. Pick up all your local game store goodness from Magic the Gathering, Dungeons & Dragons, Pathfinder, or WFURP 4th Edition, as well as terrain, paints, board games, comics, and more. Make sure to use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout for free domestic shipping or PCME10 for 10% off your total order at bearddragongames.online. Also, a special thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. To get 10% off your order and to help support the show, use code PROFESSIONALCASUAL at checkout or use the link in the show notes.
Old World fans, the Professional Casual Network is starting a slow grow campaign in February 2024. The best part is, you can participate no matter where you are in the world. All you have to do is join our Discord and track your army's progress in the slow grow channels. We're starting February at 500 points and adding 250 points every month until we reach 2,000 points in August. Started late? Not a problem. Come join us in Discord to track your progress, get hobby tips, and help keep us all accountable throughout this campaign. Come grow with us in the old world. Hey, my electric casuals, and welcome to another episode of Beards, Ears, and Skulls, the best old world podcast on the internet. I'm Taylor, your personal grudge bearer, and with me, as always, are two of my favorite people, my dwarf friends, because I got yelled at for saying dowry last episode, Dan and Tim.
I didn't yell at you. I did speak to you sternly.
Yeah, it was a yell.
Nope. It was not.
Listen, the last time I got spoken to sternly at my job, it was yelled, and I cried for 3 days.
I remember that. You sent me a lot of like videos during that time, and most of them were while you were crying, but also in the bathroom, which is weird.
No, I figured that you enjoy videos of me crying. It's just anyways, today on best.
Got on the nose.
If you want to send videos of yourself crying, you can send it to 603-803-3235. Text it.
Cry it.
Cry
yeah.
it.
Text it. Yeah. Send us screenshots of you crying, too. if you really wanted to do something special, get a Polaroid camera, right? Take a picture of you crying, put it in an envelope, address it to Professional Casual Networks, P.O. Box G, West Oneonta, New York, 13861. Listen, I see the face that you're making because I said Professional Casual Networks. There's multiple networks. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes.
I was going to let it go, but...
I was not. We're now a corporation. We have multiple networks. but today on Best, we are going to be talking about one of my absolute favorite factions in this entire setting. The Big Fat Fatties themselves, Ogre Boys.
Boom!
it's the best flavor text in any game ever.
Right?
It's so good. Tim will get there. But before we get started, I just want to always send a huge dowie thank you to our beautiful and wonderful patrons who support us over on patreon.com/professionalcasual. Thank you, everybody. They they don't help me speak. Those speech classes are not helping out. I got to stop spending money on that. These folks help us do what we do every day. Keep the lights on and keep Tim from eating his shorts. So huge special thanks.
Dude, shorts are so good tasting.
They are really fantastic because they have pockets, which are essentially layers. And you know what has layers? Onions. You know what else has layers?
Ogres.
Boom.
Ogres.
Boom. Anyways, our top patrons, thank you everybody. Current big subbies are X-Paxis, Rob, Dagna, Cider, Drinker, Tony Hot Hands, Otis, Leroy, Iron Maze, Wizard Skills, Bicon, Briar Mage, Tau, Cliff Jumper, and James. And Cider Drinker. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for your support. We really appreciate you all. If you love the old world and you want to show your love, head over to patreon.com/professionalcasual and sign up at our brand new Electric Casuals tier, where you get all the fancy stuff that you get, access to our Discord and episodes a week early or something. I don't know how any of this works.
Yeah, when available. Let me actually pull that up, because the Electric Casual thing is, in fact, live now.
We're so... prepared and ready for everything in our lives.
So not only do you get everything at the normal $5 tier, you get episodes for most of our podcasts a week early. You also get this is the only tier. This is the lowest tier that gets access to episodes from this a week early when available. Yeah. Battle reports early. And you have kind of a direct line to help guide what battle reports we end up doing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of those things where, you know, hit us up in our Discord or text us or, you know, however Patreon works, because I don't know how to use it. It's magic to me. But let us know, you know, what kind of battle reports you want to see or any of that sort of stuff. We would love a little feedback, a little direction for sure. Anyways, folks, let's dive right into our topic of the day. Dan.
Orba.
Talk to me about ogres.
Oh, talk
to me about my favorite boys.
So ogres have a special place in Warhammer Fantasy for a lot of players because they're still the newest, youngest army, right? They were not a thing until the 7th edition of the game.
Right.
It was a brand new thing. It was a brand new way to make an army because Ogre Kingdoms are all about monsters. Monstrous infantry, monstrous cavalry now, and straight up monsters.
Yeah, if I'm remembering correctly, there's like two units of regular infantry, and it's just Noblars and Noblar Trappers.
That's it. Yeah. Everything else is monstrous infantry. So you have, they're all about multiple wounds on models, multiple attacks on models. And just having the biggest, beefiest characters that are not going to go down anytime soon.
It's so funny with their low initiative. It doesn't matter. They have like three wounds apiece at least. They're always going to hit back. But if you get that charge off, they also have an ogre charge. They get impact hits just because they run into you with their 7.5 foot to 8 foot, 400 pound body, which is probably underweight. You know what I mean?
That's a small ogre.
That's a gorger.
On average, they're like 10 to 12 feet tall. But still, yeah, I mean, they're all about combat, but they actually have a good shooting and magic as well. I love ogre magic because it's gastromancy. Yeah. It's all about eating weird stuff and using that to channel the winds of magic to have cool stuff happen. They're butchers, are their wizards, and they literally chop up meat and then like eat troll guts to cast troll guts to give the unit regeneration. It's awesome.
So for those of you that don't know a lot of the lore, Tim, for some of these armies, no, that was me behind you.
Spooky.
From 35 minutes away. Listen, I'm a ventriloquist, man. I don't know what to tell you. So ogres, they worship what's known as the Great Maw. Okay. So there's this gigantic, I don't even know what it is, Dan. Like it's
what?
It's like a chaos thing, the Great Maw.
It's not chaos. It's the Great Maw.
Fell out of the sky, and it's like a gigantic what are those things on Tatooine?
Hole with teeth.
Sarlacc.
Yeah, Sarlacc. It's like a massive Sarlacc pit. It's just the holes with teeth. So they worship this thing.
It's a giant hole in the ground.
Yeah, with teeth.
Very reminiscent of a kind of a very attractive popcorn bucket that's currently in theaters.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
100%.
Extra butter, please. I expected support from you, Dan.
Well, I knew you were going to go that direction. Get to that kind of idea some direction. I wasn't expecting the Dune popcorn bucket, but I'm picking up what you're putting down.
All right. After I used it too, even better. Oh, thanks.
Nope, stop. And we're done. yeah, go see Dune in theaters. they worship the Great Maw. They're all about just consuming, eat, constantly consume. They eat each other. Like they will, in order to establish dominance and like who is much like orcs and goblins, whoever's the biggest is usually in charge. And if someone comes along who's like, no, I'm the biggest, they're like, all right, fight me about it. And then if they lose, the other dude usually eats them.
Like, what are you going to do? Eat about it?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Eat me about it? Like it's brutal. I just, the society I think was once like their smartest ogre is the equivalency of like a 10-year-old or something like that.
Yeah.
As far as development is concerned. Kid. Right. So
one of my favorite bits of ogre lore is the whole gut plate. So their armor is essentially one big like saucer they wear over their gut. And the bigger the gut, the better in terms of like status. And This is partly because all of their major internal organs are stored in their gut, not really like in their rib cage, because they have so much extra muscle around their torso to help grind things down in their stomach to flex around it. So they wear the gut plate as a way to protect their squishier part, which still there's a great page in the first Ogre Army book for 7th edition that's all about, like, it's doctor's notes of a guy that like did an autopsy on an ogre essentially and talked about how many scalpels he had to go through because they're everything is so hard and thick that it couldn't just wore out all of his tools.
It's okay.
That's rad as hell.
They're like, so cool, man.
And there's this great image of like an ogre, like splayed open, seeing all the internal organs and stuff. It's really cool artwork.
Yo, the old artwork in the old army books was just always incredible. That black and white, like sepia tone.
Love it.
Just so good. But yeah, gut plates are super dope. They also have something, I think I'm jumping around here. They also have something, it's called an iron fist, right?
Yeah.
So they decided, right, that if you just put this gigantic like iron gauntlet on your one hand that is the size of a human, it works as a shield and an additional weapon.
Yeah, just put some spikes on it and then you can punch people with it, but you can also like stop punches from hitting you.
Right. So when you're going against like some stupid man idiot that has a spear, you just grab the spear with your gigantic ironclad gauntlet and then slice him with his, you know, essentially a great club for any normal human being wouldn't be able to pick this up. Right. And oops, it's a tree trunk with literal rocks banded in iron on it. You know,
oops, all tree trunk.
Oops, all tree trunks. Ah, oh, I love ogres so much. Sorry, I'm getting super excited.
They're so cool. So a little note I put in here about people like don't know much about it. So ogre kingdoms are a great army for someone who wants a low model count that hits with impact and can take a beating from their enemy.
Yep. Yep. I was a menace with the ogres back in the day too. I feel like I played a little too much gut bust and it got a little ridiculous, but man, they are just fun. They still move six. Is that, yeah, they still move six. Yeah,
for sure.
So they march 12, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, they're shockingly fast because right? They take big strides.
And then when you go, you know, add on things like Yetis, which move seven, and then Mournfang Cavalry.
Mournfang and the giant ridden monsters, the Thunder Tusk and the Stonehorn. There's so much cool stuff.
There's so many cool things. If you like monsters, ogres are the army for you.
I think it's really kind of an attractive premise too about having fewer models that can also kind of fill out the same point value.
Yeah.
As far as like ogres, from all the stuff that we've done at the network, whether it was some of the actual plays like Apapa or Settling the Southlands, like I've learned a lot osmosisly about ogres.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And,
fair.
And they seem rad as hell. Like they're just so in general. Cool, man. And the fact that I can just buy a few boxes, I can have 14 models, and that's my 1,000 points or my 1,250, like, that's really attractive.
And so speaking of... They're ahead, easy Dan. To get nowadays because yeah. they're one that got carried over to Age of Sigmar, where they're the... I forgot what they're called, but you can... The whole range is still available.
The Ogor Maw Tribes.
Maw Tribes, that's it.
And the Frost Clan...
Something like that. Yeah but
it, Frosty Boys.
All the models are still available. Relatively easy to get. You know, it's not like you have to track down people that are selling all their used stuff, which is nice.
And the trailer for them for Total War Warhammer is the dopest thing in the world. If you haven't watched it, it's so cool.
I need to watch that.
It's so cool.
You're so cool.
Thanks, man.
Welcome.
You're cool looking. Got him.
Nice. So speaking of low model count and lists, we're going to try something new. Friend of the network, Dylan, who is doing the Arachne podcast, if you're into Infinity or if you're not, who? Cable. If
he's
you're
part of the network. He's on the Contact Us page.
He is part of the network. I'm sorry. Part of the network, Dr. D, who is doing a whole bunch of blog posts. He's going to be doing a blog post. By the time this episode comes out, he'll have one for Ogres already done.
What?
So if you head over to professionalcasual.com and go to our gaming blogs link, you can go ahead and see that. And I'll link it in the show notes if I remember. But yeah, we've decided that we're going to just everybody writes a 1,000-point list, and we'll just kind of like compare and contrast and see what everybody kind of did similarly or different, depending on flavor. So do you want me to like roll a D6 to see who goes first, or somebody want to jump in for us here?
Can I interject one thing real quick, but just before we move away from Dr. D?
Yeah.
His quote, someone reached out to me the other day. They were like, who wrote that quote about Dr. D on the About Us page? And I was like, there's a quote about Dr. D on there?
There's a quote about Dr. D on there? ProfessionalCasual.com, by the way, folks.
So it says, when you think of morality, justness, studiousness, and pseudoscientific medical practice, there is only one name that comes to mind. Dylan.
Is that it?
Did he write that then?
I think so. I don't really remember how that got on there or what
That's
happened.
That's really good.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Oh, look at him with his little puppy on there too. Oh my gosh. He's so cute. He's so cute.
I was just going to say that I really like this idea where we will likely have three different kind of lists. At 1,000
likely
points,
was unneeded there. Likely was unneeded.
Well, I just mean that 1,000 points, ogres are relatively limited because they are a low model count army. They are expensive. Like your base ogre bull, your standard dude is like 33 points without any kind of upgrade. So like
bull, right. B-U-L-L or B-O-W-L? Because I feel both work for ogres.
Ogre bull, B-U-L-L.
Okay.
Sorry, 31 bull points without upgrades, but you're going to give it either additional hand weapon or iron fist because it's great.
Yeah. Plus they have the special rule bull charge, which is just dope.
They have the special ogre charge.
Oh, so tyrannical overlords have bull charge.
Yeah, the big fighty characters do.
All right, I'm going to go first because I'm excited.
No, I'm going to go first.
All right, fine. Go ahead, Dan.
Okay.
Yeah, your opportunity is ogre, Taylor.
Ah!
Get ready for 19 more of that joke.
I'm gonna mute Tim real quick. Go ahead, Dan.
So I had written a list once Taylor was like, hey, write a 1,000-point ogre list. And I was like, okay, Dad. And then Tim Sawyered his list, and I was like, this is too similar. I'm going to change my list.
Rude.
It's totally not rude. Did. It's exactly what happened.
I did
totally do that.
Yes. So I changed my list
to, totally do that.
To fit something I noticed in the rules that is completely broken and I think is absolutely disgusting. So I'm going to see if you guys figure out what it is. So I'm going to start with a butcher as my only character. All right, level 2. I'm going to give him the new item. This has never been in a ogre army before. The Butcher's Cauldron. So they have this in here because there was a special character before called Scrag the Slaughterer, who had a giant cauldron full of like blood and meat parts and things that was connected to him by chains, and he would drag it behind him. And he didn't have hands. He had like a hook for one hand and a cleaver for the other. Scrag the Slaughterer is awesome.
That was a punishment, by the way. His tyrant, I don't remember who it was, cut his hands off because of some slight. Anyways, go on.
He thought he like insulted him or something. Yeah. So it's a 30-point upgrade. Gives instead of having impact hits 2, it gives him impact hits D3 plus 1.
Yep.
So it's at least 2. And in the command subphase, you can use the cauldron. Leadership test. Make an offering to the Great Maw. Use leadership test using the butcher's own leadership. In this case, he's my general anyway, so it's not going to change. And then if you pass the test until the start of your next turn, the character and any unit he has joined gains regeneration 5+.
Yeah, that's dope.
Right?
Yeah.
That's if you really fail dope. The test, he takes a wound because
Who
the Maw gets mad at him.
He's got 4 wounds as a hero character.
Yeah,
Who cares?
He's got 4 wounds, and I gave him the blood cleaver. So once he gets into combat, if he causes 1 or more unsaved wounds during the combat phase, he recovers a wound.
Yeah, yep.
So he's got effectively more than 4 wounds. I want to include a butcher for the cauldron and because they're ogre spells are both fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
So I don't really care what his lore is because I'm gonna switch out a spell for probably Troll Guts.
Mm-hmm.
Cast on a 5 or cast on an 8 or 11. So if I cast it on an 8, target friendly unit within 15 inches, which will be his own unit that's already got a, hopefully a 5-up regen from his cauldron, gets regen 6+. So that becomes a 4+. If I cast at 11 or more, they get regeneration 5+, which would, with the cauldron, becomes a 3+ regeneration save.
Yeah, which is ridiculous on 3-wound models.
Right. So then he goes in the first core unit of 6 bulls with Iron Fist and full command. And their standard is carrying the cannibal totem, which gives them regeneration 5+. So this unit with troll guts at either casting and a successful cauldron has a 2-up regeneration save.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, that's yucky.
Right? I'm not usually good at finding these combinations, but wow, that's gross.
Remember when we had to scour every single rule book for where this would apply last episode and we just found it?
Yeah. Well, we mentioned before that we could find stacking in here, and then I realized I was looking at the rules again for the Butcher, and I was like, wait, he can give regeneration too. So they can get a 2-up regen. Then there's a unit of 3 Iron Guts with just a Bellower, because I didn't have points really. And then a unit of 26 Nobbler Fighters, because they're 2 points a model. And then a unit of 2 Mournfang Cavalry with Iron Fists and heavy armor. And I forgot, there's more. Somehow I fit more into this. A Thunder Tusk with a Harpoon Launcher.
What?
I forgot he was there.
What?
999 points.
I forgot he was there.
Yeah, so okay, so the Butcher is in the unit with I'm gonna put him in the unit of 6 bulls, so they can not easily, but they can potentially have a 2-up regen save on top of light armor, not a big deal. 3 Iron Guts, a block of 26 Nobblers, 2 Mournfang Cavalry to hit flanks incredibly hard, and then a Thunder Tusk, because they're awesome.
Yeah, they're
pretty
awesome.
I love Thunder Tusk, and I have one. So, like, I was trying to build a list I could feasibly actually field.
And Tim, I am throwing in the chat some of the minis that we're talking about here. So that most recent is Scrag. He just, with that cauldron dragon behind him, he just looks so freaking cool. And here's a Thunder Tusk. So Thunder Tusk is like this big snowy mammoth thing with 2 ogres sitting on top of it.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it no longer has the sphere of frost wreathed ice.
Oh, thank God. Now it's just called Chill Breath, and you can actually say it. And it used to be like a stone thrower. You drop a template. Now it's a breath weapon. Which, it's only strength 2.
Makes more sense.
But it's AP 1 and multiple wounds D3.
Which is dope.
But I don't really care about it that much because I want to get this thing into combat. It's got first charge. So if it success, I didn't realize it till just now. It has first charge. So if it successfully charges on its first attempt, the opponent counts as disrupted. So they can't count their rank bonus.
Ugh.
It has Howda, which really only matters for the, if you make it a character mount. It has impact hits D3, the numbing chill.
Makes a minus 1 weapon rule. Skill and initiative.
Yep, so it slows down the unit it's in contact with is minus 1 weapon skill and initiative. It has 3 stomps and then swift stride and terror. And then it has 2 ogres on the back, so it's got 6 attacks just from the ogres. It's so awesome.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, this I totally forgot the Thunder Tusk was in this list. This is disgusting at 1,000 points.
That's kind of a big thing to forget about.
Right?
Yeah.
Good thing I was scrolling through here.
Right? Oh, that is so dope, dude.
Yeah, I want to play this army now. I want to play this list and make everybody mad.
Well, see, and that's the thing, too, is like now, you know, I'm only playing 5 different armies that I'm never actually going to play or paint or assemble. But, like, I'm super into ogres now, too. Like, just thinking so back to the end of Settling the Southlands, like, the spoiler alerts, but, like, there was some moss stuff happening. And it was, like, red as hell. And I was like, that super turned me on to ogres.
That was really fun.
I'm excited. I would like to belch some lead, you know?
Well, speaking of, tell me about your list, Tim.
Okay,
by yours, I mean Cords.
Well, yeah, thanks, Cord. Shout out, 100%. Shout out to Cord. So I was in chat today on Twitch, and I was like, hey, Taylor said I need to have a list tonight. Someone want to make one for me?
See, I see how it is. You do homework for Taylor, but
because I'm
listen,
cute.
I
give you weeks notice and you don't do it.
Yeah, that's the issue. He gave me notice today. I needed this list, so yeah. I was able to get it done. You give me time, I will forget about it.
Mm-hmm. It's called ADHD.
So a huge shout out to Cord, like a big salute to him. So for our character, we have a tyrant. And one of the super dope things about this tyrant, he's got the great weapon. He's got heavy armor. He's on foot. He's not riding nothing. But the magic item is the tenderizer, which is so insanely rad.
Mm-hmm.
Strength plus two, minus three arm AP, extra attacks and multiple wounds. And I mean, strike last right isn't like super stellar or whatever, but like, or even goods. But as magical attacks, extra attacks, and multiple wounds.
I don't think you understand that you have six attacks at like strength seven.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
this is on a tyrant, right?
Yes.
So yeah. Going like strikes last, if he charges, he still potentially is going at initiative four, which against a lot of units is going to be at the same time or even still before them. He has five wounds. At toughness five.
Yeah.
So, like, the chances of him going down before he uses this is very slim anyway.
So, here's the great thing about this. Ready? He charges in, right? He's got impact hits two. He's got two impact hits. Dumb. Secondly, armor piercing of the characteristics of the impact hits is included, is improved by your rank bonus. Dumb.
And, because of bolt charge, he starts at armor piercing one on his impact hits.
And then tyrannical overlords just have armor bane one.
Correct. Yep.
Just built in. So if you roll a six, you're at armor minus four. Bye-bye armor.
Yeah, right? in addition to all the other impact hits from whatever unit he's in.
Right, exactly. But I'm sorry, we keep interrupting you. Go on.
They're just so awesome.
No, I don't disagree at all. So as far as core units, we have four Ogre Bulls, not full command. It's just a Crusher and then a Standard Bearer. And then we also have four Iron Guts with Veteran and also a Standard Bearer. And the Standard was a Cannibal Totem, which is going to give regen five. And granted, I don't know all of the rules around Pursuit, but you only roll one dice for that. So I'm assuming that that's when you scare something away and it's leaving.
Yeah, if you win combat and they flee and you're pursuing them, you only go D6 instead of 2D6, which is like, pff, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? That's for people that don't kill their prey instead of running away.
It's absolutely worth it for regen 5.
We have four lead belchers as special units and then a giant as a rare unit. And there's no options available, at least on the old world builder, for giants. So they could just kind of like just straight up now tell me.
They're not on there? Should be.
No, they are on there. There's no.
Oh, no. You get what options. You get with a giant.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I think the only giant that has an option is the chaos giant. You can like give it mutations or something.
I think the orc and goblin one does as well.
Can you give it war paint?
Yeah. It's like 25 nice. Points and you get a 6-up ward. Or whatever it is.
That's a lot. Does it give them frenzy too, though? Because that could be worth it. But we're not talking about orcs and goblins today. We will another time.
Yep, for sure.
They might need two episodes because they have so many units.
Yeah, honestly. We'll go over orcs and then goblins.
Can you recap that one more time, Tim? You had a tyrant, four ogre bulls.
Yep, so it's a tyrant with the tenderizer. We have four ogre bulls. We have four iron guts, four lead belchers, and a giant.
Let me talk to you about lead belchers here for a second.
Yeah, let's talk about lead belchers because they got a pretty big change from their past versions.
Yes, they did, very much so. So lead belchers, the miniature is actually an ogre holding a cannon, a regular cannon.
Like an Empire Great Cannon.
Right. So they just load it up with black powder and sharp weapons.
Stuff.
And then just there's usually Noblars like hanging out on them with sticks that are on fire. Like, Noblars are little tiny cousins of goblins.
Yeah.
And the ogre will just, like, point the cannon at something, and they'll just go, boom! And the Noblar lights the fire, and you just...
So good.
So it's like a portable grape shot. which is ridiculous. But they changed it to where it used to just always be a portable grape shot. And now you have a solid shot, which is just one shot, strength 5, 24-inch, AP minus 2, armor bane 1. It is cumbersome, but it is multiple wounds 2. Just every successful wound that doesn't get saved is 2 wounds, which is incredible.
What does cumbersome do? Does it like reduce your movement or something?
No, you just can't use it to stand and shoot.
Oh,
which who cares? Like, because they can still the next move one
and fire it. They just would take the normal penalty.
Right. So you're probably going to be minus 1 for moving and shooting, right? And then you'll be most likely minus 1 for over half range. But that solid shot is Dan has, you know, his unit of 5 dragon princes, and you're like, I'm going to shoot 4 shots at this thing. It's strength 5, so I'm wounding on 2s, and any like roll of a 6 is armor minus 3, so your 2 up armor I don't care about, you know. They're really great. So the next one is a scatter shot, so it's 6 inches less range, 18 inches. It's only strength 3, but if the hit roll is successful, D3 hits are caused, right? So you let's say you have 4 dudes, you roll 4 dice, they're going to hit on probably a 4 up or a 5 up, right? If you roll a successful hit, you roll a D3, and that's how many hits go through.
Okay.
And then you roll 2 wound, right? So it's a little bit different. It used to just be, like you roll a D3 for every mini in the unit, and then they fire that many shots, and it was incredible. But I do like this one a little bit better, just because you get this is a cannon part of it being a cannon, right? Mm. You get to shoot two different profiles here.
I do really like that it has 2 different profiles now. I like the old rules where it was just D3 shots. It had the multiple shot rule, so they were always at minus 1 to hit regardless of anything else. But then they ignored like firing over half, and I think they also ignored moving and shooting.
I think you're right.
So they were basically always hitting on 4 fives, which was nice. But I like the choice here.
Yep.
I've seen some complaining on the internet that they've gotten nerfed, but I want to see it in action before I, you know, say if I agree with that or not.
So at the end of the day,
they're more versatile now because you have the solid shot for, like you said, the heavy armor stuff. You got the scatter shot for the less armored stuff. Like you see, what is it? Like dwarf slayers, you're going to scatter shot them probably. Like, yeah, you're wounding them on 5s, but you're going to get a lot more hits.
Yeah, any wound is a dead dwarf, right? At that point.
Yep.
So at the end of the day as well, Tim, a lead belcher is an ogre. It's got 3 strength 4 attacks. It has impact hits. Like, it's still an ogre, you know? So somebody gets close enough to you, you're like, I'm a charge.
You're still a big ogre with a big piece of metal, right? So end of the day, like, you can wallop whatever you want from range or afar, wherever you are.
Keep walloping.
And I love this, how like it just for melee weapons, it just says hand weapons. Which is funny to me because in my head cannon, when they charge something, they just drop their cannons and they're like, I'm gonna punch them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, they hit him with the cannon.
I feel like if they hit him with a cannon, it would be like a great weapon. You know what I mean?
I mean, it used to be the Ogre Club had a rule that was like they just had armor piercing 1, but now all the units that have that have armor bane 1 instead. So like they lose that. Because I think they don't have the armor bane rule on their melee attacks.
Right.
I think that's because they're just hitting you with the cannon.
Well, it depends. Right. It depends on what it is, too, because bulls have armor bane. So that, you know, constitutes an ogre club, I guess. And again, this is another army, Tim, that just is like fear across the board. Everybody causes fear, which is just so much fun.
I'm into it, man.
One of my favorite things, sorry, Taylor, I was just going to say with the old world version of ogres is they didn't change base sizes.
Yeah,
you're still on 40 by 40, which makes me so happy that I don't need to rebase any of the ogres I have. I do need to rebase the nobblers because they're on 20s, 25s instead of 20s, but I have those conversion trays, so they plop them right in there. They're good to go.
Yeah, for sure.
Re-mention how great those conversion trays are as far as like preventing hobby time, which no one likes to do.
Right. Thanks, Chad.
Thanks, Chad. Love you. And it makes sense because they did that with trolls as well. It seems like anything that was monstrous infantry, they just kept on 40s. But before we go over mine, I want to go over Dr. D's because he's not here with us. But go ahead and check out that blog post. I'll link it in the show notes.
With us in spirit.
What's that?
With us in spirit.
With us in spirit. Speaking of which, the name of this list is Tim Had Better Not Be Playing WoW.
Uh-oh.
That's so good. That's so good. I love Dylan. He sent this to me. I was like, did you send this to anyone else?
Oh, nuts.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, man.
I love that guy.
So his list.
To kill me all the time.
In the article.
It was just that one time. Nine times.
You said it a lot of times that night, though.
In the article, he named it. Now, this is doppeldonging.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah. Wait, whoa. Can Gutmancers get illusion?
Yep.
You ready for this?
Yep.
Wait, I can doppeldong with a tenderizer?
No. Slaughtermaster.
He could. Yeah, you could.
Yeah, you could. Absolutely.
Yo, let's go.
It had to be a Slaughtermaster, right? Or is a tenderizer not that expensive?
Tenderizer is 70.
Yeah, so it has to be a Slaughtermaster. But still, okay, I want to hear this now.
So it's a Slaughtermaster. No, this is doppeldonging. Hang on, I lost it. It's a Slaughtermaster. It says the Headsman's Axe.
Okay.
Do we know what that is? I can't find that anywhere.
I will take a look while you look.
There was another one that I couldn't find, at least on the app that I was using, the Kin Eater.
Kin Eater is a big name.
Stop it.
The Headsman's Axe, I wonder if he means Grutsickle? Oh, wait, Headsman's Axe might be in the core book.
So that's, is that a common magic item, then?
Maybe that's what I'm missing here, because I'm a big dumb dummy. Dylan's screaming at me right now. He's like, it's a friggin' magic item, you idiot!
I can hear that in his voice.
Right? So, Dan, if you want to go ahead and find that in the core book.
Yeah, there it is. I got it.
Go ahead.
So, 45 points, strength plus 1, AP 1, killing blow. Magical attacks requires two hands. So it's a great, well, it's not, it's kind of, it's basically a halberd with killing blow.
Right. So talisman of protection, headsman's axe, 2x potion of speed, giant breaker, which is a big name. So giant breaker is the character's plus one modifier to their strength. They cannot refuse challenges, and nor can any unit they have joined flee as a charge reaction. But who cares?
Right? You're never going to flee as a charge reaction.
No.
Almost.
And
never.
Then the illusion thing. So you get doppeldongers, right?
Yes.
And troll guts.
And troll guts. Yep. So he's strength, what, 6 with that weapon? Because it's strength plus 1. And then giant breaker is strength plus 1. So you're doing doppeldonger, 2d6 hits at strength 6, killing blow, AP minus 1.
So how does extra hits and stuff, well done. Like, yeah. For how does extra hits and stuff tune into doppeldonging?
So like with doppeldonging, you just roll 2d6 hits. That's it.
Okay.
Yep.
2d6 hits?
It's 2d6 hits, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, if you want to check the illusion spell.
I mean, you got to cast a spell first, so I guess that makes sense. That's.
And I feel like it's like an 11 plus.
And it's assailment, so that's on top of his regular attacks.
Right, exactly. Yes. Yep. So you've got 4 attacks, weapon skill 4 at strength 6 that are
killing
AP minus 1 killing blow. And then
that's so good.
2d6 hits at strength 6 killing blow.
Tim, do you know what disgusting. Killing blow does?
I do.
Roll a 6 to wound the dead.
Yep.
So with that disgusting Slaughtermaster, he's got 7 ogre bowls with iron fists and a standard bearer, 6 iron guts with a standard bearer, and 3 lead belchers. Because who cares? You don't need anything else.
He doesn't have any monsters, though.
The slaughter. Yes, he does. The whole army is monsters.
Yeah, fair.
You didn't, are you sure there's not a Thunder Tusk you forgot about?
It just tucked in there. But it's disgusting, and I love it, and I know Tim's going to love it. So Dan can actually field this as well. We have the minis for this.
I can field any of these so far, except for my guy with the cauldron, but you can pretend.
Yeah, that's right. We can proxy.
The only difference there, I did see that he does go on a different base size if you have the cauldron. It's a 50 by 100 chariot base.
And that makes sense. Yep.
So then he did
back in the day anyways.
It'll be kind of weird because then he'll have to be on the outside of a unit he joins. He won't be able to fit inside a unit of ogres because his base is 50. The same footprint. Oh. Yeah, 50 by 100 does not line up with 40 by 40.
So, not with that attitude.
Yeah, right?
I just need to source a Scrag the Slaughterer model, which is not cheap.
No, for sure. But that's Dylan's. Now this is doppeldonging, unless it's during recording, and then Tim Had Better Not Be Playing WoW list.
I love it.
Yeah, this is really incredible.
Tim, stop playing WoW.
But we're on Gamarura, and I
can
need
see
the...
it in your glasses.
No, you can't.
I don't know what that means, and I don't care. He took his glasses off.
He sure did. So my
now
list
this is how are you going to play WoW without glasses? You won't be able to see what any of the symbols are.
Like, he doesn't need to see them. Like I read. You can't read the icons.
It's all muscle memory now.
Right? So my 1,000-point list, we're bringing the Stone Ogres back, ladies and gentlemen. And the Stone Ogres are my own tribe of ogre kingdoms where they got thrown into a cave and they've been living in this cave for God knows how long. So they don't know what black powder weaponry is. They have absolutely no magic items whatsoever. Man-eaters aren't a thing because they were never allowed out of this cave until right now. So it's essentially gorgers, but an entire ogre tribe, right?
Nice.
So obviously, fire is very important to them. So we're running a fire belly, level
nice.
Two.
Yes.
And I can't decide on battle magic or elementalism. I can't decide.
I prefer battle magic, but
I can't choose illusion.
Why not?
It's a fire belly.
It's not an option.
What's a fire belly? You should take elementalism so you have fireball.
Well, fireball is battle magic.
Oh, never mind. That's what I said.
Right? So there's pillar of fire and there's so much cool
stuff.
Yes,
you got to go battle magic for a fire belly. Come on.
Right? That's what I was thinking. So you've got a fire belly and I didn't have points to give him a great weapon, which is unfortunate, but I could probably drop something, right?
Is it at least an okay weapon?
It's a regular okay ogre weapon, right?
Okay.
Get it.
So fire bellies are essentially they've drunk lava?
Yeah.
Yo, for real?
You have to eat lava to be a fire belly, and most of them, you know, die. So
here's your two options. You become a fire belly or you're dead, right?
They're so great. So they worship like an offshoot of the Great Maw, which is a giant volcano.
Yep, it's the volcano
which
god.
Which is very
Mawish,
to be fair.
The fire mouth.
It is just the volcano god? Fire mouth, it is. So they're just a different breed of wizard that they can take that's not a butcher. But
so they just constantly have flaming attacks on all the time. They have a 4+ ward against flaming attacks, and they also have a strength 4 AP 1 breath weapon that is flaming attacks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love they have a breath weapon.
They literally breathe fire. The art for them, I think these came in the 8th edition book, and the art for them is this dude with this gigantic stone mace breathing fire on a unit of something, and people are just melting.
Great.
It's so dope.
So the only downside to a fire belly is it can't take Lore of the Great Maw signature spells.
Yes.
Because it doesn't have that rule.
Would love me some troll guts, but
what does troll guts do?
That's
so
the
troll
regen.
Guts is that's their regen spell.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
So
and
the
troll
two
guts
are,
has been
troll
in this
guts,
game.
And then one's tooth cracker, which gives the unit +1 toughness.
So your ogre bowls are toughness 5, which is gross.
Right. Also very good.
And if you have a Slaughter Master in the unit with Toothcracker, they're toughness 6.
Yeah.
So great weapon wielding dwarves are wounding that on a 4+, which is stupid.
Right? Yeah, both those spells are so good.
It's so stupid. So I was going to go a Butcher, but I was like, you know what? Let's throw a Bruiser in here. Just have like, you know, someone who is actually leading this
two
particular.
Characters.
I got
okay.
two characters, right? So I have a Bruiser, and he's not a BSB. He is the general, because I don't see an option to have the Firebelly as your general.
I think that's just an army old world builder thing. I'll have to double check. I think there's a rule that like a wizard can't be your general, but I'll look in the core book real quick while you're going over this stuff.
I agree, because everything else has the option. And it might just be missing there. Anyways, he's got an iron fist. He's got heavy armor, and he has the Kin Eater big name. And the Kin Eater is, unless the character's fleeing friendly models within the command range, may reroll any failed panic or rally tests. So I don't have a BSB, but I'm only a leadership 8, right? So I need a little bit of reroll here.
So super quick, general is just the one character, the character in your army that has the highest leadership. So believe your Bruiser would have a higher leadership than the Fire Belly anyway. So the Bruiser has to be the general in that case.
Yeah, so that makes sense then. We've got a unit of 10 Noblar Trappers.
Nice.
So Noblar Trappers are super dope because they're scouts, and scouts allow you to be set up within 12. So after everything is set up, They deploy anywhere on the battlefield that's more than 12 inches away from an enemy model. They can't declare a charge on their first turn, but I just, after everybody's done deploying, I put the skirmishing unit of 10 dudes on the board a foot away from any enemy model. And the cool thing about trappers is if you charge them in the front rank, I believe it's the front rank.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just look.
Traps and snares.
Yes. Any enemy model.
No, just ends its charge and base contact.
Oh, thank gosh, because that's how it used to be. any enemy model that ends its charge move and base contact with a model with a special rule must take a dangerous terrain test. And what that is
I just roll a die. If you got it.
Yeah, I do got it. You roll a die for every miniature that's taken the dangerous terrain test. If they roll a one, they lose a wound. They don't just automatically die anymore. They just lose a wound. But that's huge for things like, again, I'm going to put this right in front of Dan's Dragon Princes.
Right?
No, I don't want that. Put them in front of Dan's Dragon Princes because they just straight up take a wound. I don't think you can get armor. It doesn't explicitly say no armor saves are taken.
Yeah, because it kind of skips that step. It just loses a single wound. It's not like suffers a damage. I forget the exact wording on it is, but it skips past that.
Right. So I wanted more, but I'm gonna keep with that. And then I went low model count units. I have 3 Ogre Bowls with Iron Fist, 3 Ogre Bowls with Iron Fist, 3 Iron Guts with a Musician, 2 more Mournfang with Iron Fist heavy armor, and 2 Gorgers.
I still feel like it's a lot for 1,000 points of Ogres. That's dope.
That does seem like a lot of things.
369, dang, she's fine. 19 for the Trappers, 20, 21 for the 2 characters, 23, 24, 25 minis. For 1,000 points of Ogres, almost all of them have at least 3 wounds except for the Trappers, you know?
Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you can go relatively cheap with Ogres. Like you said, 3 Ogre Bowls with Iron Fist is 100 points, right?
105 points.
Oh, just over 100 points. Yep. So
my thought process here is I'm movement 6 on at least everything except for the Trappers, right?
And they're scouting anyway, so.
And they're scouting anyways, and I gave the Gorger Scout and Vanguard, so I get to set them up within 12 inches of something, and then they get to make a normal move.
There's just something about Ogres being... just in general, obviously very conspicuous, having any type of ambush.
Yeah, right?
Like,
it's an ogre run.
Aggressively conspicuous.
Right, exactly. And I like how they changed the Gorger rules that you get 3 per army. That's it.
Yeah, 0 to 3, not per 1,000 points or anything.
Yep.
That's kind of crazy.
So, my thought process is, if I'm movement 6 and I have a very low model footprint, so yeah, my thought process here is low model counts. What that means is I can actually spread them out on the board a little bit more, and I'll have so much mobility that I'll be able to move around and just kind of like pick my charges where I want them to be. The Gorgers and the Trappers are going to kind of work as chaff a little bit, except the Gorgers I'm pretty sure are still unbreakable.
Yep.
They certainly are, so I'm just going to slam them in. They're toughness 5 with 4 wounds. They're just going to be obnoxious. And
five
then they
attacks because they have frenzy.
Right? And they have
and
a
killing blow.
It's just one of their attacks.
Oh, true.
Yeah, so one of those attacks is killing blow, and then the other 3 are strength 5, AP minus 2 with frenzy. So you get an extra attack on that. They're awesome. They're just so awesome. And they do have a 6-up armor. They used to never have armor.
Reroll charges, too. The Ravenous Hunger, regen 6+. Like, they're good.
Yeah, they're way better than they used to. But yeah, I'm super happy about the low, the high unit count, low model count. I think it's going to be super fun. Because sitting in the Iron Guts, I'm going to have a bruiser, you know, who's just... It's going to be a disgusting, like, smacky list. And then the fire belly that's just in the random ogre bowls breathing fire on people. Mournfang Cavalry. Let's talk about those because, Tim, I don't know if you've seen or heard these before.
No, I've not heard of this term before.
Oh, man.
So Mournfang's, Dan, if you don't mind finding a picture just so we can send it in there.
Like Mournfang, like they're sad and crying, or Mournfang, like we need more fang?
Actually, it's Mournfang, like we're sad. I'm pretty sure that's okay. How you spell mourn. Yeah. They're essentially like bear, goat, rhinos, which are really
man bear goats,
man bear goats with an ogre sitting on top in like this, it's this nice little like comfy chair on top of this thing. They do D3 impact hits per model.
Yes.
At strength 5, which is just dope. So they have light armor, which you can upgrade to heavy armor, which I did. So that's a 5-up.
Oh,
and then armored hive to a 4-up, and then iron fist to a 3-up with 4 wounds apiece. So they're just these massive, massive armored things that swing at 6 or 7 attacks at strength 4 or 5. It's incredible.
Okay.
With a 4-up armor save.
Right. And their strength 5 attacks are AP minus 1, armor bane 1.
They're so dope. Good. They're disgusting. Movement 8,
swift stride. They cause fear. I friggin' love these guys. So back in the day, back in 8th edition, they were just so unbelievably broken.
Yeah.
And they look like they're still really good, except for when they go after Dan's Hellblaster, who decides to roll 30 shots and just peel an entire unit of 4 off a table.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that was a go 3 tens in a row. That was awesome.
It was awful, is what I mean.
One thing that's super fun about them is that their champion, the Crusher, can take a brace of ogre pistols.
And ogre pistols are normal human handguns.
I was going to say, what is an ogre pistol?
It's a rifle.
Yeah, so they're the same weapon that like Empire handgunners or Dwarven Thunderers have. It's a handgun, but they're so big, they work as pistols for them. So they get 2 handgun shots, which is range 24, strength 4, AP 1, armor piercing, like...
It's so good.
There's a few different things that can take these too. I love ogre pistols. I'm putting quotes, like tyrants, the tyrannical overlords, tyrant or bruiser can take these. They can take a ogre pistol or brace of ogre pistols, which is just 2. And then in combat, they count as an additional hand weapon.
Nice.
Which is super cool. Man-eaters can take them.
The entire unit.
Yeah. So we can talk about man-eaters next because they're really cool. But yeah, the champion can take that. And I just love, I just got some models of these from our local game store, Beard Dragon Games.
Got online.
Somebody had sold a collection to the store, so I bought them up secondhand for a good discount compared to a new box of them. And the person built it with the brace of handguns on the champion. Luckily, this game is pretty explicitly not WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. So like, I don't have to give the guy...
Yeah,
brace of pistols. Even though the model has it,
is there something in the rules that makes that different than other games or other GW properties that makes it not WYSIWYG? Or
it doesn't have that like explicitly stated anywhere that what is on the model has to be what you paid for in the points and stuff.
Okay, cool.
Because I've seen a lot of people online saying like it's nice that it's not that because there's so many different things. Everybody wants to try something new and different because it's a new addition to the game.
Is 40K in AOS WYSIWYG?
40K is generally or thought to be WYSIWYG. I don't know about AOS, though. AOS is kind of, it sort of is inherently because they only came out with rules of models that exist.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know what I mean?
And a lot of the things are like,
if you're tyrant,
they have the rules for both of these things anyway. It's just if the model's equipped with this, they can do that. And if it's equipped with this, it does that instead.
Yep.
Okay.
Man-eaters, you ready for this? Ogres who are like, I need to adventure. I need to go out there. I need to do stuff in life. So you've probably seen these in Wolferp in things like Gapapa, which is one of our actual play podcasts, Grim Podcast, Pillars of Adventure, and then things like Settling the Southland, where you have ogre mercenaries, right? They just walk into the Empire and everyone's like, why is that here? And they're like, I want a job. Pay me in food.
Okay.
If you don't pay me in food, I'm going to eat you.
Please don't eat me.
So they go in and they join Empire Halberdiers, except they have like a literal piece of masonry that they're hitting things with, you know, as they fight. Or, you know, they walk around and some of the minis are incredible. One of them is the Ogre Paymaster. And he's got like an abacus and like, right? This just treasure chest full of gold and like this trench coat. There's one, Tim, Dan, I think you have one that's a pirate. And he's
holding up a big anchor as his weapon. Right? That one technically is JB's, but it's effectively mine right now. I've always wanted all these man-eater models and they're just hard to find anymore.
One of them is it's a female ogre with this huge beard and huge mustache. and like a 12-foot rolling pin
as a great weapon. My favorite is the ninja, though.
Come on. Yeah, the ogre ninja.
There's a ninja. And he came with a little ninja Noblar, too.
Right, who's got like a bow staff and he's kicking off the ground.
Yeah. And the ninja, he's like, he's trying to be stealthy, but he's just, you know, this big old fat ogre with a sword. You can't see me. Okay. Like, oh, they're all so good.
So Mannerdoos just like they roam around the world, and then they'll come back. That, you know, they feel the great maw's pull. They'll come back and come back to their tribe. But, you know, they're kitted out with so many different things. Like, any model of the unit can take an additional hand weapon or an iron fist or a great weapon or an ogre pistol or a brace of ogre pistols. And then you get to take up to two of the following special rules for the entire unit. You can either give them immune to psychology, poisoned attacks on the entire friggin' unit, stubborn, or vanguard. Vanguard's dumb. Vanguard's super dumb. So it used to be back in the day, vanguard lets you move up 12 inches. So you give a bunch of ogres poison attack in vanguard. And then they would move up 12 inches. They have a 6-inch movement, so they have a massive charge, and you give them additional hand weapons. So they're slinging 5 attacks a piece, right? So the whole front rank is 15 attacks. You roll to hit, any 6 is a wound.
Armor was modified based on their strength of 5.
Oh,
yeah, so and good. They're just better ogres. Their weapon skill 4 instead of the typical 3. Their strength 5 instead of the typical 4. And their leadership 8. Which and is initiative so 3 instead of the typical 2. Like, they're just so good. But they are expensive. They're 54 points a model.
Yeah, which is a lot.
You know, it's a, 23-point upgrade. It almost costs as much as 2 ogres. But they're so, and again, yeah, like I think you said this already, that any of them, any model in the unit can take an ogre pistol or brace of ogre pistols, so you can have them all be super shooty with poison handguns.
Yeah, which is dumb. Yeah. I don't know if poison goes over to the handgun itself. It might.
I don't see why not, unless poison attacks specifically only affects melee weapons. I don't think it does, but
because the unit gets it, right? Yeah, you can have a poison dart, and well, what's the wind orbs that the Skaven send? I'm sure those
the poison wind globes.
Yeah.
There was a rule back in the day where if a unit had a special rule, it didn't confer to the weapons they had. The weapon itself had to specifically have that rule.
Gotcha.
I don't know if that's still in the game.
Yes, unless otherwise stated, a model with this special rule, poison attacks, may use it when making both shooting and combat attacks.
Hell yeah, let's go.
All right, yeah, that's dope. Yep, so give him brace of ogre pistols. And
the only limitation is any spells cast by the model are unaffected, as are any attacks made with magic weapons. I don't think ogre pistols are magical.
They certainly are not. The problem is it brings them up to 66 points a mini.
Yeah, but they're awesome.
Yeah. Wait, you just need 4 of them. You know what I mean?
Can they take heavy armor?
That's 8 shots.
I don't see that.
And their ballistic skill 4? Oh,
yes, they can. They can take heavy armor.
These guys are
dumb.
Oh,
they have a BS4 too? Dang.
These guys are dumb. I love them. yeah. So they, it's just another little ogre rule. They have something called a lookout Noblar, which is literally just a little goblin dude that hangs out on top of a standard.
Like in a crow's nest.
He gets a crow's nest on top of
on the
banner.
Actual banner on
yeah.
the standard?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Like, he's just modeled too.
And the leader of the unit or any character is just like, hey, if I'm going to get hit, you tell me. And he's like, hey, you're going to get hit. And he's like, oh. So he gets a lookout, sir. It's so good.
That's so rad. Good.
One of my favorite parts of Ogres 2 is that in addition to the monsters, we talked a little bit about Thunder Tusk and Stone Horns, as they have monsters that travel with them from the mountains. So they're called Mornfangs because the ogres basically come from an area of the world called the Mountains of Morn.
Yeah.
And they have some things that travel with them, like yetis and saber tusks.
Yeah.
Which are just giant saber-toothed tigers, which are just cool. And they're pretty typical, like used to be called war beasts. Now they count as cavalry.
They're
2 attacks, movement 8. I guess they are troop type war beasts. So they're in the cavalry section of the army list.
Gotcha.
But they're just like big 2-wound cats that bite real hard. You can make them ambush or scout or vanguard. Really cool. I've always loved yetis. Never gotten the models for them. Really want to. They look dope. They breathe ice onto their weapons.
Yeah.
To make like magical. They are magical icy weapons called Grimfrost weapons, and they're similar to ogres in that they're monstrous infantry with 3 wounds, 3 attacks. Their movement 7 though, so they're even faster. And
they're strength 5.
Yeah, they're strength 5. So they hit pretty hard. And you can give them scouts or vanguard as well, so you're all over the place. They also have that numbing chill, same that the Thunder Tusk had. So if they're in contact with a unit, they're -1 weapon skill and initiative.
But the big thing about that is they're initiative 4, the Yetis, yeah. So they're super duper fast.
They're pretty quick, especially for the Ogre army. And what else they got there? They are flammable. We got to look out for a little bit, but they're also swift stride, so they're really fast
and move through cover,
into combat. And their weapons, not only are they magical, but they're AP 1 with strength 5 and armor bane 1.
Yeah,
so they're decent at cutting through armor.
I feel like they're worth it now.
They're just cool.
Back in the day, they were like, this isn't worth buying the mini or buying the points for the mini.
Yeah, now they didn't want them to overshadow ogres, I think, and they nerfed them too much, especially in the 8th edition book. It was like, why would I ever take Yetis when there's Iron Guts and just bulls?
So I want to talk about their chariots.
I was just going to say that next. They're War Machine / chariots. Same things, but awesome.
Tim,
yeah.
Picture this in your mind. Ogres climbing up a mountain because they're like, there's clouds up there. There's got to be something up there that we can kill and eat.
Yeah.
So they climb up this mountain. They go up into the clouds and they find this race of people called the Sky Titans.
Okay.
And they go, I'm going to kill you and eat you.
Hell yeah.
And there was an entire war against Sky Titans and they won the war somehow and stole their cannons. So
the Sky Titans were like ancient race of giants that were actually super smart and like kind of lived in peace up in the highest mountains above the clouds. But they had these cannons for like defense, and the ogres were so much more warlike and just conquering that they overwhelmed the Sky Titans.
So you got 2 options for this, right? You get a solid shot, 36-inch range, strength 10. AP -3, armor bane 2, cannon fire. So it shoots like a cannon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Multiple wounds, D3 +1. This thing hurts people. Okay. This thing is so big that they put it on top of a chariot with a gigantic rhinoceros pulling it, like a woolly mammoth rhinoceros.
A woolly rhinoceros, right?
This thing, so like ogres are like about yay big. They're what, 6 inches, maybe like 4 inches tall, Dan, the miniature?
Like 2.5 or so, 3 inches.
Oh, yeah, maybe. You might be right. I'm sorry. This cannon is about 4 inches, probably. It's huge.
It's a big model.
I mean, yeah, just in general for the scale of this, like that's...
Very, very large.
Yeah.
And then they have a scattershot, which is a breath weapon, right? It's got its own misfire table.
It's brutal, too.
Because why wouldn't it, right? You roll a 1. Constantly mistreated by the ogres. The cannon explodes spectacularly. The whole thing's removed from play.
Love it.
Right? A chariot with 5 wounds.
Kaboom.
Gone. Right? The next one is called Crack. With a tremendous crack, the cannon splits along its length, rendering it useless. The model cannot shoot with this weapon for the remainder of the game.
Yo, okay.
The cannon just breaks. You still have a chariot.
It's still a chariot with a rhinox on it and an ogre and a noblar. So, like, it's not done. It can still do a lot of work.
4 through 6. So, 50% chance for this.
I do love these names so much.
Through its own ineptitude, the Noblar Scrapper has become stuck in the mechanism. The model does not shoot this turn and can't shoot with the weapon during the next round either. It just gets stuck in the barrel.
So, like, not only is it a cannon, it's just as good as an Empire Great Cannon. D3 +1 wound, strength 10, all that. But it's also a heavy chariot with D6 plus 1 strength 5 impact hits. It's toughness 6.
With 5 wounds.
It's got 5 wounds and it has, 7 attacks from the different models? Like, one of the attacks is a Noblar, but, like,
Strength 2 Noblar. And it's got a 4-up armor save. It's so good. It's so good. So, the sister to that that chariot is the Nob... Go ahead, Dan.
Can I talk about the Scrap Launcher?
Yeah, you have it.
I have a Iron Blaster now, too.
Oh, no.
I picked up one of those from the store as well, used. $25 for a built Iron Blaster. Couldn't believe it.
Heck yeah.
So the Scrap Launcher. We mentioned this in the past and in a past episode, but it's the same kind of idea where there is another heavy chariot. Rhinox pulling it, but this one has seven Noblars that have built this rickety contraption of a catapult that they just throw all kinds of like weapons that they found on battlefields to fill the cup of it, whatever you call it, the basket of the catapult, and just fling shards of whatever weapons, armor, of things that the ogres thought were too small to wield themselves.
The flavor text here is a scrap launcher catapult is a devastating engine destruction that launches bundles of broken weapons and shards of scrap metal into a tightly packed ranks of enemy.
Right,
just so, like garbage.
So good. So it works like a stone thrower, has the bombardment rule. It's only strength 3, 4 under the central hull, and AP none or 2 under the central hull. Multiple wounds, 2, only under that central hole again. It's range 12 to 48, so if you get too close with it, it's not going to work. It'll fling the stuff right over the unit. The only downside to it is it used in previous editions, it had killing blow on that stuff because it's like an axe or a sword flying through the air.
It
does use the
5-inch
template, so you're going to get a lot of strength 3 hits.
And this is going to be real good against elves and rats and things that are just toughness 3.
Oh yeah.
But the big thing about it is that 5-inch blast template is just absolutely dope. But Killing Blow wasn't in 8th edition. It was only in the 7th edition book.
Oh really? They got rid of it for 8th as well?
Yeah.
They skipped an edition with it? Was it in editions previous to that?
Killing Blow was in 7th edition.
Okay,
the only other
book just the first edition, just the first version of it.
I could be misremembering as well, but I'm pretty sure that is the case.
But it also has its own misfire chart that's just as good. If you
it's
roll
essentially
misfire,
the same, just better names.
Right. The first one's Crunch instead of Kaboom, where again it says the scrap launcher comes apart in a shower of metal and wood. The model's destroyed and removed from play. A 2-3 is Snap with an ear splitting crack. The arm of the catapult snaps cleanly in two. This model cannot shoot with this weapon for the remainder of the game. So again, it's just a chariot that's going to crash with d6 plus 1 strength 5 impact hits, and then you know 7 Noblar attacks. And then Splang is 4-6. Splang! Scrap launcher sprays debris in all the directions, but mainly straight up. The model does not shoot this turn and cannot shoot with this weapon during the next round. So the same effects, like you said, just great names to go along with it.
Yeah, I might be getting this wrong. But I feel like in past editions, I don't know if I still have the ogre book. I feel like in past editions, that last splang, it used to center the template over itself. But
yes.
Again, I could be wrong. Yeah,
like you said, it shot straight up and landed right back down on the unit. So it would do like one little hit against itself. Even if it had killing blow, it didn't work because it was a chariot.
But again, yeah, at the end of the day, it's the same chariot. There's a Rhinox on it. It does D6 plus 1 impact hits. It's Armor Bane 2 only on the Rhinox, but this thing is stupid good.
Like you said, it toughness 6. It's got 4 up
this
armor.
This one's only
saved.
Toughness 5.
The scrap launcher does go down to toughness 5. Yeah. That's true. But it does have a 4 up armor save. So they're pretty tough.
Yeah.
As long as they
wounds.
Don't blow themselves up.
Yep. Exactly.
Big dumb dummies.
So the last thing I want to go over before we end, because we are a little bit over time here,
this
is the
so
stone horn. The stone horn is a.
Okay.
Tim, you're going to love this.
I'm excited.
The Stonehorn is a gigantic, like, mammothy. What would you call this thing, Dan? Like,
the Stonehorn.
It's a Stonehorn. It's got
so
these huge.
Instead
like,
of big tusks, it's got big old horns coming out of its head.
Right.
Snuffleupagus-like.
Kinda.
I guess. As Stonehorns age, they turn into precious gems.
Yo, that's okay.
Right? And then they eventually get to the point where they just turn completely into rock and gems and they can't move anymore and then they just die. Right? So they all... Go ahead.
One thing about the lore I love about Stonehorns is that they're kind of like elephants where they have like Stonehorn graveyards.
Yes, this is exactly what I was just going to go into. Yeah, go ahead.
I'll let
you
do it then.
So they have Stonehorn graveyards. They all go to the same location to die. So the cool thing about that is there are prospectors and people who are like, I'm going to go get some of those gems. The problem is not all those Stonehorns are dead yet. So you start chipping off gems off of this thing and it wakes up.
I really like that. Like, it reminds me of those things in the most recent season of What If that you got to pick gems off of. Like, they look like they're just mountains, but they're really elephants.
Legitimately exactly that.
Yeah.
So they used to have, I don't know if I still have it, but they used to have like a little mini scenario. It was, I think it was in a White Dwarf where you set up like 7 or 8 Stonehorn models and like you have an army that's like going around trying to like pick off gems from these Stonehorns, and they could just randomly wake up if you're picking gems off of them and beat the snot out of you depending on how close to death it is.
Yeah, really cool.
It was a lot of fun. So it's a behemoth. It's movement 7, strength 6, toughness 6, 6 wounds. There is a 2 riders on top of it. One of them has a chain trap, which is literally a
it's a bear trap.
A bear trap on a chain that it throws at people.
Yes, let's go.
They throw the bear trap and it chomps and they haul it back to throw it again.
Yep. Oh, no. Okay. Yeah, that's rad as hell.
Does
that's
that still have killing blow?
And dope.
Yes. So it's a strength plus 1 killing blow within 12 inches, which is dope. Which is just so cool. It can take
I love that. Right? I love that.
The model of it is great. I have it on my Thunder Tusk model, has a chain trap.
The other thing they can have is a blood vulture. So instead of like taming like a hunting owl or like a hunting
canary.
Yeah, a hunting canary, like a hawk or something. They will tame just a giant vulture to like go at things and eat their brains out. There's a chain trap. Yeah, Dan's holding one up right now.
I love it.
It's
I
so it. Cool.
Can my new army be ogres?
Yes. Okay? Yeah, absolutely. I'm very okay with that. I don't want to fight them, but I definitely want to see them on the table. So it's got D6 plus when impact hits, which is dope. The Stonehorn itself has armor bane 2. So it's got, you know, strength 6, AP minus 2 attacks. There's only 4 of them, but it also like gets that armor bane 2, which is super dope. It has terror, obviously. And then it has this wonderful rule called Thunderous Charge. Impact hits are at AP minus 2. So it's D6 plus 1 impact hits at strength 6 or at AP minus 2 as well. So this thing just charges into things and just wrecks face.
Yeah.
Absolutely wrecks face. I don't know if it has stomps as a behemoth. Do they just come with
that? It doesn't, no.
No?
So I've seen people complaining about that it doesn't have stomps, but it has D6 plus 1 impact hits, and it's got 4 attacks of its own that hit really hard, and the 2 riders on top.
And it's 6 wounds, armor 4, a toughness 6. Like, this thing is just ridiculous.
Did you go over Stone Skeleton as well?
I did not. Let's hit that real quick. So the model...
Another way to keep it alive longer, that Stone Skeleton, as it's slowly turning to stone over the course of its life, it takes less damage from multiple wound attacks. If it has multiple wounds, whatever, it just reduces that by 1.
Which is
like,
super
oh, you
dope.
Have multiple wounds too? No, it's just 1 wound. You're not going to hurt me more.
Because it's literally made out of stone. I friggin' love these things.
First charge too. Oh, that's so good. Oh,
I miss that, dude.
What does first charge do?
That's so when you charge into something, the first time it charges, right?
Yeah. If the first charge is a success, if you fail your first charge, you lose it. But the Thunder Tusk has this as well. The unit it hits doesn't count its rank bonus that turn.
Okay.
Which is ridiculously good against warband units like goblins and skaven and beastmen, so they don't get that bonus to their leadership either. So it's like a double whammy. You take away rank bonus for combat res and you take it away from their leadership.
So essentially it brings it to a level playing field because this thing can't get rank bonus, obviously.
If you hit a unit with a Stonehorn or a Thunder Tusk the same time as you hit with like a unit of bulls, whatever else in there, maybe a butcher. Like, I like how different we chose our generals. It could be a bruiser, it could be a butcher, it could be a tyrant, it could be a slaughter master,
baker, a candlestick maker.
Right? Really, well, the four of us made 4 different lists and we chose 4 different generals. It was really great. Not even planned.
Right? I throw that fire belly in there and he's got hammer hand for 2d3 strength 4 AP minus 2 hits in combat, plus a breath weapon, plus his attacks, plus, you know.
Yeah, just ogres so hit many. So hard.
And that's why I went small units that are just like, wham, impact hits, wham, impact hits, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
Ah, I love ogres. So
we need to get battle reports done now. I want to play this game so bad.
These dwarves have been a lot of fun to paint, but I'm playing ogres now.
Let's all collect ogres together. Let's increase JB's army for him.
You know? I did
honestly,
say
it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Like, yeah, right.
Literally.
Well.
Quite for legitimately. Real. I did say I was going to pick one as my Stillmania list, didn't I? Ogres? Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was probably on the list, yeah.
Right. Ah, oh, man. Well, I think we're at an hour 15, so that's, I think, probably enough for us today.
We got so excited, we just kept going.
I could talk about ogres literally all day long.
Like, I don't think listeners are going to mind that we went over an hour.
No, right? Not at all. Yeah, my WoW raid's done, so we can finish up whenever.
I'm so glad for that.
So glad for you, Tim.
Oh, that came out way more mean than I meant it to.
No, I liked it.
Yeah, you should have come out meaner, probably, honestly.
Stop playing WoW!
I'm going to call Dylan real quick and just get on.
He's already mad about it.
He can feel
message
it.
Message him quick.
Yeah, right.
No, I sent him a screenshot of my screens.
Did you?
What'd he say?
Oh, my God.
Oh, he said, you're too easy to predict, Timmy.
Yeah, right. So anyways, folks, thanks for being here. Make sure to catch all of our episodes if you haven't caught up with us. And head over to professionalcasual.com for everything else that we do. We have podcasts all over the place. We're doing so much stuff over there between blogs and everything. It's just incredible what we're doing. And yeah, make sure to go to our Twitch, twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, where we play video games. Mainly Tim plays video games, as well as Ben, I think, on Saturdays. Still doing that, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then we also do live games like live MCP or Shatterpoint. We'll probably get Old World on there at some point, as long as everything works out correctly. Mm-hmm. And once again, hit that Patreon, patreon.com/professionalcasual, to help us out. You guys got anything for me before we sign off?
I think you're cute and I really like you,
dude. Legit, right back at you. Just no. Like Kirby, right back at you.
I want to hit you with all the impact hits.
I'm girl. Don't threaten me with a good time. Anyways, everybody, we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the other great shows here at the Professional Casual Network. Like what, Danny?
I'll tell you. On Mondays, we've got the Lost Omens podcast, our Pathfinder 2e actual play, hosted by me, playing through the Extinction Curse AP. Also, streaming on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork at 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can check out, oh yeah, The Power Phase, our Marvel Crisis Protocol live battle report show. On Tuesdays, the podcast version of Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog is available. On Wednesdays, alternating releases on the Patreon, we have Settling the Southlands, our homebrew Wolforp actual play, and The Slithering, a Pathfinder 2nd edition actual play. And on Thursdays, live at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on twitch.tv/professionalcasualnetwork, we've got Wait, Did I Roll a Wild? Our Marvel Crisis Protocol Povlog.
You can also check out back episodes of Elite Eight Showdown and the first 39 episodes of the Lost Omens podcast, the first 24 episodes of Settling the Southlands, and the first handful of episodes of The Slithering on the YouTube at youtube.com/theprofessionalcasual.